Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big, weird, wild world out there, folks, and here we stand. Al pie del cañón, ready for anything. I'm Rob, that's the Natch, and you're listening to...
The Bravo Show!
Good morning, beautiful people. How are we doing out there, friends? Don't forget, if you want to participate live in today's show, you can do that. Join us in our audience on Twitch. .tv, twitch.tv/professionalbohemian. If you want to join us and vote and interact outside of the live program, you can do that on my Instagram. That's @professionalbohemian. If you want to check out all the links and all the news we use on the show, very simple as well, you go to patreon.com/professionalbohemian. Professional Bohemian, pues es bohemio profesional, pero en inglés. So easy. How are you doing out there, folks? BTI's with us this morning. So is Eugene and many others that haven't said good morning yet. Good morning, Rob and friends. BTI. Hi, guys, says Eugene. How are we doing out there, folks? You may notice my voice is a little affected today. It was quiz night last night. Led by the one and only Mr. Nacho. Nacho, it was a good quiz, eh?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Yeah, it was a good crowd, good people. I don't think I've had so much fun at a quiz night in a long time.
Thank you.
I think the new time of 7:30 aided my enjoyment a lot because I knew, you know, I could have a little drink, go home, and it wouldn't destroy my whole world. You know, I particularly like the round with the missing word in the song. Oh, chef's kiss! Mwah! It was brilliant. And I do have to say hello to a bunch of people. I want to say hello particularly. The last quiz night with Chris Frank, I was feeling ill. I had the flu. So I went only for a few minutes. And I normally take photos for Vaughn's social media. And I send them to the marketing department and they use them as they wish. So I was taking photos, just trying to stay very low profile. And a man came up to me and he said, "Hello, Rob." And my default is always, oh, this guy knows me. I can't remember him. Let's pretend that I know him. So I said, "Oh, wow, hey, how are you doing?" And he said, "Don't worry, you don't know me." But I love the show. It's my favorite. And then I saw him again this week. He correctly identified one of my great love snatch, shortening people's names. He says, "You love to shorten people's names." And I do. So a big abrazo to who I'm going to call from now on. Big Tony. Antonio, Big Tony, if you're listening, I love you back, man. Thank you for listening to the show. Do join us on one of our many media outlets. Let's see, the Bridge is here. Good morning, Bridge. How are you doing? A very, very, very good night last night. I think we came fourth. Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. What have we got lined up in the show today? Oof, let me tell you. Okay, in today's 100 humans, we ask them to name something. Nombra algo that symbolizes a country. Nombra algo que simbolice un país. No? Yeah, you don't look convinced in there, Nach.
Yes, I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah, we've had a late night. I blame the bar, you know? I asked for one beer, and they just consecutively brought one after another, you know? Anyway, in today's Complete the News, we'll find out a proposal of something to teach kindergartners. A kindergartner is a child of 5 years old, approximately. So Florida Senate has passed a proposal to teach something to kindergartners. We'll find out what that is. Incomplete the news. Today's unpopular opinion. Oh, God. Natch, you know what I mean? I don't want any more death threats. Guys, take everything with a pinch of salt, will you? Okay. Global citizenship is more important than national pride. Okay? That's today's unpopular opinion. Global citizenship is more important than national pride. Probably you would say orgullo nacional, no? How would you say global citizenship, Nach, in Spanish?
Ciudadanía global, I would say.
Ciudadanía.
Ciudadanía.
Ciudadanía. Oh my God, dude, did I just do that with my mouth? Ciudadanía. Woof, no, I screwed it up that time. Ciudadanía Global. Oh, ho, 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 so yeah, global citizenship is more important than national pride. We do have the results of the poll from Instagram here, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But right now, my friends, I'm here, you're here, you know? Let's see what's going on in the world, shall we? Okay, we have some interesting news. Let's get into it right now. Yeah. Oof, Natch, while we were talking about being threatened, right, by people calling, is the door shut behind you? Have you locked the door to the studio? No. Uh-oh. Well, you might want to flip that latch, my friend. Last time we did a piece of news similar to this, someone called and threatened to kill me. So strap yourselves in. It's more whale news, Natch. Más noticias de ballenas. Here we got a rare grey whale, extinct in the Atlantic for 200 years, has been spotted off the coast of Nantucket. Ballena gris extinta, en el Atlántico durante 200 años, avistada frente a Nantucket. Good news. We're always giving bad environmental news. So here's a little glimmer of hope, a little ray of sunshine. Yeah, in a remarkable discovery, a grey whale was observed off the coast of Nantucket, Massachusetts, by the New England Aquarium's aerial survey team. This sighting, extraordinary, since grey whales have been considered extinct in the Atlantic Ocean for over two centuries. The whale, seen about 30 miles off the island, seemed to be feeding and was identified through photographs taken during the 45-minute observation. Grey whales, known for their long migrations and historical nickname, Devilfish. Oh, good. Good. Thank God it's not the angelfish that's alive, right? due to their defensive behavior when hunted, are typically found in the North Pacific, having disappeared from the Atlantic by the 18th century. So some great news. Great news there. Let's take a little look in the chat. We have people writing to us. Vero says, good morning, beautiful warriors around the universe and beyond. Happy birthday to my brother, Ruben, for his 50th birthday. Happy birthday, Ruben. Another 50 years on the clock. Carmen, good morning. I salute all the lurkers listening to the show, says Carmen. There are a lot of warriors behind you to look after you, she says. Be careful of whales and the things they do. Yeah, man. It's a crazy ride, dude. I mean, if you're going to, like, you just, you know, they always say, don't, certain things you shouldn't talk about on the radio. I have basically made it my mission to talk about those things. So you have to take the rough with the smooth, my friends. Okay, let's go. A Microsoft engineer, an interesting and rather worrying piece of news from Business Insider, moving into the world of tech now. A Microsoft engineer sounds the alarm on the company's AI image generator in a letter to the FTC. The FTC is the Federal Trade Commission. Ingeniero de Microsoft alerta sobre el generador de imágenes por inteligencia artificial de la compañía en una carta a la FTC. Okay, in a remarkable discovery. No, sorry. A Microsoft employee, Shane Jones, has raised concerns with the Federal Trade Commission and Microsoft's board of directors about the company's AI image generator, Copilot Designer, which he claims produces harmful content, including images of depicting sex, violence, underage drinking, drug use, political bias, and other inappropriate content. Oh my God, dude. Microsoft Copilot is the onboard AI kind of AI assistant in Windows 11. So quite worrying that it's producing mature images, given that, you know, anyone can be on that computer, a child as well as an adult. Let's continue. Despite Jones's efforts to urge Microsoft to remove the tool from public use until better safeguards are established and to reclassify its Android app from E for everyone to mature 17 plus, his recommendations were reportedly ignored. Jones's concerns highlight a broader issue within the tech industry regarding safety and ethical implications of AI-generated content. This situation comes as other tech companies like Google face similar challenges with their AI generators, prompting discussions about the need for rapid, responsible responses to such issues. Have you ever used an image generator, Natch?
I did it once to try.
Just to experiment a little bit. Mm-hmm. What were your feelings? How long ago was that?
Like 2 months ago.
Ah, okay. So you've used something fairly recent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask which generator it was?
I don't remember. It was DALL-E or the other one in Adobe Firefly.
Adobe Firefly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're incredible, right? They're incredible. Why is it the AI are doing all the cool jobs? Why is AI writing songs, writing poetry, painting pictures? I want to do that. When's AI going to be answering monotonous emails? Like, when's that going to happen? So they'll be using AI to generate bad images, guys. Come on, let's be responsible. Okay, final piece of news. Not really news, but more of a study conducted by a reporter at businessinsider.com. The title of the report is, I used resume spammers to apply for 120 jobs. Chaos ensued. I don't know how we say spammers in Spanish, Natch. It's a program that sends a bunch of emails, one after another. You know that spam, when you get spam in your inbox? Well, this is a resume spammer. So let me translate this as best as I can. Usé spammers de currículums para solicitar 120 empleos. Se desastó en caos. Jeez Louise. A spam, thank you, Bridge. Oh, evil I thought to you. The article from Business Insider describes the author's personal experience with modern job application process, highlighting the challenges and inefficiencies faced by job seekers due to the overwhelming number of applicants and the impersonal nature of the automated hiring system. A lot of people don't realize this. When you're applying for jobs, before a human will ever see your curriculum, it's filtered by some kind of AI or automated filtering system. And also, if you've ever been in the ecosystem of LinkedIn and you've tried to apply for a job, like, they can post the job within seconds, you're like applicant number 100. Is it because of these curriculum spammers? Well, let's find out. To navigate this, the author experimented with various AI-powered bots designed to automate job applications, such as Lazy Apply, L-A-Z-Y, Vago, Apply, Aplicar, A-P-P-L-Y, Lazy Apply, Sonora, and OneSulting AI, which promised to increase applicants' chances by submitting hundreds of applications on their behalf. Despite initial skepticism and various mishaps, including incorrect information being submitted and outdated resumes being used, the author found that using these bots resulted in a higher response rate from employees. Worrying, right? Because now where is the human element in this? If you've got AI applying for jobs, then AI filtering the jobs in which you've applied for, where is that human element? Where is that human element? I mean, a big part of getting a job, but really kind of selling a company that you are the person for the team is that interview process, right? When you sit in front of the hiring manager, you shake hands and you talk about your skills and intent, and you kind of try to develop some kind of rapport. So my worry is how do you even get to that part of the process nowadays when there are these automated tools, not only doing the application, but also doing the filtering? It's crazy. The article also touches on the limitations of such technology and the importance of personal connections and networking in the job search process, including that while AI can assist in the tedious aspects of job hunting, human oversight and personal interactions remain crucial for success. This is a really fascinating article from Business Insider. I will post the link in my Patreon, patreon.com/professionalbohemian, if you want to see that. The bridge here says, spam is a spam. Therefore, spammers, spameadores. Oh. Nivelazo for the bridge, please, Nat.
Vaya nivelazo.
Vaya nivelazo. All right, there you go. That's the news for today. Again, you can find all those articles in my Patreon. Let's move on to today's unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
Okay, today's unpopular opinion, today's brain fart, today's pedo cerebral, pedo mental is... Woohoo! Okay. It is global citizenship is more important than national pride. La ciudadanía... Uf, that's a difficult word. Global. Es más importante que el orgullo nacional. All right. Again, a complex issue. I'm known for spouting off opinions and not all of them you might agree with. You'll find out about my honest opinions on this one towards the middle part of the program. Let's dig into it. Got a lot of comments on Instagram, a lot of votes. Okay. How do you feel about this? What for you, Natch, is more important?
I would agree. I've never felt like national pride.
No,
I feel like very lucky of having been born in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I
love my country, but it's a matter of luck for me.
Yeah.
If I had been born in North Korea, I don't think I would be that happy.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe you would. Who knows?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of our morals and the way we kind of process the information in the world comes from, like, one of the major contributing factors to the kind of person you are is completely based on the random chance of where you're born, you know? So I would agree with that, Natch. And I'm very much in the same boat. I was born in England. And, you know, I love where I was born. But then, you know, my father, Polish. My mother, Italian. raised in a very Mediterranean way. Then move and live currently in Spain. The idea of national pride to me is a little alien. Okay? So I asked people on Instagram, well, how do you think they voted, Natch?
I think they said true.
They did. By a little or a lot?
Well, like 70, more or less.
85% true. Yeah, yeah. I was quite surprised too. I mean, I guess I'm quite surprised because the majority of the people listening right now are Spanish. And for me, Spain is the best country in the world. While I'm talking about national pride. You know, I'm not a Spanish national. That's the thing. I'm a guest here. So let's dig into that. As always, I thoroughly tortured those elves this morning, and they provided me with some pros and cons. Let's get into those right now. In the pro column, global citizenship is more important than national pride. Okay, in the pros, agreeing. Many of today's most pressing issues, such as climate change, pandemics, global inequality, transcend national borders and require international cooperation to address effectively. Global citizenship promotes a sense of shared responsibility and collective action, which is crucial for tackling these changes. I mean, look, probably one of the most pressing issues around the world right now, water shortage, where we're getting our power from, is it clean, how we're dealing with waste, all these are issues we all deal with together. The global pandemic was something that the world experienced together at the same time. So many issues transcend our borders, you know. Let's continue. Cultural understanding and tolerance. Emphasizing global citizenship can lead to a greater understanding and tolerance of different cultures and perspectives. This can reduce xenophobia, racism, and other forms of discrimination, fostering a more inclusive and peaceful world. Yeah. I mean, that stands to reason, right? The more insular we become, the more we look at the our little group and our little gang, the more we develop an us versus them philosophy, right? That can happen politically. It can happen in terms of national pride, you know? And I think everyone's goal should be bringing everyone closer together. I don't think anyone would think, you know, you shouldn't have pride in where you live. I'm just saying it's a question of priorities, right? You know, being more tolerant of other cultures, other ways of thinking, other ways of processing the world. Anyway, let's continue. In an increasingly globalized world, the actions and policies of one nation can have significant impacts on others. Global citizenship recognizes the interconnectedness. It recognizes this interconnectedness and encourages individuals to think beyond their national interests, promoting decisions that benefit the global community as a whole. Yeah. What's that phrase? Think globally and act locally. Isn't that beautiful motto for life? Understand, empathize, and concentrate on our position in the world. But then act on a local level. All right, let's continue. Economic benefits. Global citizenship can lead to stronger international collaborations and partnerships, fostering global trade and economic development. This can lead to more prosperous economies worldwide, as opposed to more limited scope of national pride, which might prioritize protectionism. How's Brexit going? You know? How's Brexit going? do a little reading on the British economy and see where isolating yourself will get you. All right, national pride is more important than global citizenship. Here we go. Here's the contrary argument. Those 15% or so that voted false on Instagram. Let's look at their argument. National identity and unity. National pride fosters a sense of identity and unity among citizens. It encourages individuals to contribute positively to their own society and to take pride in their country's achievements and cultural heritage. Yeah, it's true. The amazing literature, music, even movies that come out of England fill me with a sense of pride. I personally don't put that above my position in the world because of the nature of how I was raised and where I live now. I think if we want to make the world a better place, Natch, you know what would be an amazing exercise? Is that everybody, every single citizen of every single country needs to spend at least 1 year as a foreigner in another person's country. You know? Because it was a very, very humbling experience for me. Let's continue. Sovereignty and governance. Prioritizing national pride supports the sovereignty and governance of individual nations. It emphasizes the importance of a country's right to self-determination and the ability to govern itself without external interference. Next point. Cultural preservation. National pride can help preserve unique cultures and traditions that might otherwise be diluted. In an increasingly globalized world, it allows for the celebration and continuation of historical customs, languages, and arts. I honestly don't see the embrace of a more global world. I don't see how that is, how that and global and emphasizing or love, the importance of global citizenship. I don't see how those two things are mutually exclusive. You know, if anything, more of a global focus can lead you to embrace these traditions, but in other cultures, which I think is fantastic. Anyway, let's continue. Final point here. Security and stability. A strong sense of national pride can contribute to national security and stability. It can unite citizens, especially in times of crisis, and foster a collective will to overcome challenges. All right, well, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to this, friends. All I do know is that I hope you in our live audience do, and you can help us out here. National pride. What's more important, national pride or global citizenship? We've got a ton of comments here in the chat to get through. I will do that for the most part after the break. I will post right now our poll. So please tell me, my friends. Please tell me. Vero here says, sometimes having global citizenship is more important than national pride. The exaltation of national pride can lead to more problems than global citizenship. There is a way of thinking that consists of being citizens of a place called the world. All right, I'm going to post a poll in chat. You will tell me. Friends. Friends. So many things you could have been doing this morning. An infinite number of things. But instead of doing that, those things, you took the time to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the absolute world. See you in a few minutes. Hey guys, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/professionalbohemian. There you'll find VODs of the episodes as they are recorded live, blogs, vlogs, and behind-the-scenes content. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can do so on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you can participate in the polls we use in the show on Instagram @professionalbohemian or Twitter @probo, P-R-O-B-O-H. Okay, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning. How are you doing? Thank you so much for sharing this time with me and the Natch. If you've just tuned in, what have you missed? Well, let's take a look, shall we? We spoke about a rare grey whale, Umbaena gris, that was believed extinct in the Atlantic for over 200 years, was just spotted. Some good ecological news for a change. We looked at a Microsoft engineer sounding an alarm. How would you say sounding an alarm? Una alerta, right? Sobre el generador de imágenes. Yeah, that's Microsoft Copilot's designer saying that it's generating dangerous adult imagery. And what happened? Well, Microsoft ignored it, so he went directly to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. And then we looked into a fascinating article here from Business Insider. One of their reporters used a resume spammer, un spameador de curriculums, to apply for 120 jobs. And chaos ensued. I'm going to read a little bit more from this article. Despite his initial skepticism and various mishaps, including incorrect information being submitted and outdated resumes being used, the author found that using these tools resulted in a higher response rate from employers. Damn! So the AI likes getting AI CVs. There you go. Curriculums. Jeez Louise. And then we went into today's unpopular opinion, which is global citizenship is more important than national pride. La ciudadanía global es más importante que el orgullo nacional. Nacional, my bad. Interesting debate we're having here. Although it does seem like we are swayed in one direction. It was, I think, 83 or 85% on Instagram saying true. Global citizenship is more important. I mean, maybe we're preaching to the converted here, Natch, because obviously we're all people who appreciate learning other languages and appreciate other cultures. Perhaps we're preaching to the choir. Let's take a look at some messages I received right here by our audience. Nuria Tam is joining us. How are you doing, Nuria Tam? Long time no see. The Bridge says, I totally agree with you, Rob. I consider myself a patriada. A patriada. How what is that, Natch? a patriada.
Wait, maybe without...
without the tilde. A patriada.
No, the a patriada maybe means without patria. I don't know.
Ah, so a woman without a country. I consider myself a man without a country too. It's true. Eugene says, true, most of the conflicts and wars fueled by these stupid feelings. Talking about an intense sense of nationalism. Because it does, I mean, even on a more local level, Like, if you think about football teams and the violence that's ensued because, you know, it's very us versus them mentality. I mean, it does create a fervor and a strong feeling, this sense of nationalism. And populist politics doesn't really help that. Now, let's continue. So thank you, Eugene, for that. Eugene writing to us there from Russia. The bridge. I love both my birth country as my official nationality, and I most certainly support a global view, says The Bridge. Carmen says, true, as far as we all agree, all around the world, which I'm sure we don't. I don't think a global view, or at least thinking ourselves as citizens of the world, is about agreeing. I think it's more about finding comfortable ways that we can all compromise. We seem to have lost nuance when talking about things. We get so outraged when we hear a different opinion, you know? And, you know, perhaps that's because we've become closed off to other ideas, other opinions. And maybe we're using today the vehicle of nationalism to discover or learn more about those feelings. Let's continue. Carmen says, true, as far as we all agree. So yeah, there you go. Sam says, good morning, guys. How are you doing, Sam? The bridge. Yes, Rob, totally. I have said so before. Living 1 year abroad should be mandatory. It's a very humbling experience, perceiving a country as an outsider, as a guest, right? It's a very humbling experience. When I first came to Spain, I didn't speak a word of Spanish. Not like now, Nach. Not like now, I'm bilingual. Yeah, when I first came here, I didn't speak a word of Spanish. And in my own country, I was, I was known as a writer and entertainer. So it became very, very humbling knowing that I couldn't communicate when I came here. When, you know, I relied on my words to make a living back then. You see policy, you see cities and countries, landscapes, you see it all very, very differently. Like, I love Spain. I love Spanish people. Spanish people love to complain about Spain. And like, from my perspective, you live so well here. You know, you're beautiful people. You know, you can go skiing in the north, the beach in the south. It is an incredible, incredible country. You know, it's still one of the few countries in Europe where you can see kids playing out in the summertime until 10 o'clock at night, sitting on bars, on terraces, enjoying drinks. It's an amazing culture. It's amazing. You're an amazing people. Speak to a Spaniard. But one truth is, when a Spaniard moves to another country, they always, casi siempre, vuelven. They almost always come back. Anyway, let's continue on with these comments. Rafelka, yes, the best way to see that borders are nothing is seeing the Earth from space. We are all on a tiny planet in a vast universe, says Rafelka. Oh, you're going to get a Probo approved, Rafelka. Well done. Oh.
Probo approved.
It's true. We see it. We're a strange animal. We draw imaginary lines on the face of the planet, and then kill each other about where those lines are drawn. I mean, what's going on here, guys? Go home, humans. You're drunk. Love that. Let's see. Carmen says, "Apatrida." Jeez, Louise, you guys are killing me here. Apatrida. Apatrida. Thank you, Carmen. Without an A in the middle, you guys teaching me Spanish one day at a time. Nivelazo for Carmen, please.
Vaya nivelazo.
Too much polarity. I'm for all the shades of grey, says Bridge. Yeah, me too. Citizens of the world, borders and passports just separate humanity. When there is peace, pride is okay. But once crisis appears in the world, that pride can lead to see others as inferior or evil, and big problems start. Yeah, that's right, Sam. That's completely correct. Rob, you can go skiing and swimming in the north. Yeah, true story. I love the north of Spain. You all know this. And Carmen Wright, although I still think that reciprocity is essential to this view, unbalancing here would be a bit naive, if not unbearable. Being the devil's advocate, says Carmen. Yeah, I mean, I think it seems almost impossible, right? The idea that we all think globally, because God, we seem never to be able to agree. But I don't see any other solution rather than finding places where we can compromise. I mean, we're never going to agree all the time. Do you agree with your friends? You hear me talking to my best friend every day for an hour and a half, and we barely agree on anything. But like, literally, my she's like family to me, right? I think the idea of global citizenship, I don't think it's about forgetting our national pride, culture, heritage. You know, if you think of it, if you draw the comparison between a one-to-one friendship, I don't become any less Rob for having this amazing connection with someone who's like a sister to me, Andrea. You know? It's only enhanced. My individuality is only enhanced by having a friendship like the one I have with Andrea. And perhaps, friends, perhaps that could be a future, not just among individuals, but for the whole world in general. And that is my final thought. Let's very quickly see what you guys said. I said global citizenship is more important than national pride, and you guys said 100% true. So there you go, friends. You know, with all that said, Grandpa Bo would have probably said, you know what, Rob? Those are just opinions, and opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one, and they all stink. Let's move on to today's 100 Humans. All right. Carmen says, nice words. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly believe it. Like, I don't think countries lose their identity by being more global. I think quite the opposite. I think their identity is only enhanced, you know? I think their identity and the culture and their particular way of viewing the world is only enhanced by being more open. Anyway, but that's just my opinion. Let's move on to our 100 humans. It was a long walk to work today across snow-capped mountains and through river valleys. And on that walk, I encountered 100 humans and I asked them all a question. Today's question was, name something that symbolizes a country. Nombra algo que simbolice un país. Name something that symbolizes a country. I asked them that question. They gave me their answers. I'm in possession of the top 7 answers right here. Your job in the chat is to identify those top 7 answers. I didn't read out any messages, by the way, from Instagram there. I am very sorry. I got some good ones from La Chica de la Segunda Fila, from Nessa Finessa, Tom, Derek. Great comments. Sorry I couldn't read them. All right, so here we go. As always, we go to the Natch for the first answer here. Natch, name something that symbolizes a country.
It's flag.
It's flag. Bandera, flag. Sam agrees with you in the chat. So does Vero. And a bunch of people on Instagram. Is flag there? Yes, it is. Well done, Natch. With 22 of 100 humans, it's the number one answer. You guys, looky there. Oh, Natch, he's in conference with the universe. Obviously knew today's number one answer. By the way, thank you to Nessa Finessa, Fabian, Rosa, La Chica de la Segunda Fila, Vero, Juan Carlos Vera, Mushki, Coco Lavanda, Pedro, Materia Oscura, Ana Casan, Carmen. Wow, so many people. Thank you for contributing on Instagram. And congratulations to Carmen, Rosa, Nessa, and all of you who said flag, Vero. Good job. All right, let's continue. Sam says him. Spelled H-Y-M. She's a false friend because you guys say himno nacional. Oh, jeez Louise. Natch. You know, I'm dropping some knowledge here, Tanessa.
Vaya nivel lazo.
Do you know what we call that? It's not himno, what we say, how we say it, himno nacional. No? We call it a national anthem. We call it a national anthem. So Sam here says national anthem. National anthem. Eugene also says music. I think he means the song there, national anthem. Vero on Instagram said national anthem. So did Chica de la Segunda Fila. In fact, a bunch of people. Coco Lavanda also said anthem. Is a national anthem there? Yes, it is. Well done. You guys. I don't know how you got so clever. National anthem is there. 19 of 100 humans. It's the second most popular answer. Well done. Bottle Iron Man says an animal. An animal. Interesting answer. If I say kangaroo, what country do you think of, Natch?
Australia.
All right. Say bald eagle.
USA.
All right. Is animal there? Yes, it is. Well done, BTI. Animal is there. All right. Very good. Sam says monument. A monument. It's a great answer. Statue of Liberty. Eiffel Tower. Big Ben. A monument or a landmark. Monumento. Is it there? Yes, it is. Well done. Not even one incorrect answer. You guys are flying through this one. Well done. Okay. Flag and anthem says Vero. Very good. Eugene here says language. Lenguaje. Idioma. Yeah, sorry, Natch. That was a bit of a dig. That's a private joke. Idioma is language there. Yes, it is. Well done. Idioma. Oh, we should turn that into a poster, Natch. English with a lowercase e. All right, anyway. Is language there? Yes, it is. It's the fifth most popular answer with 10 of 100 humans. You guys are killing it today. That was Eugene. All right. Sam says the arts. The arts. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. Sadly, it's not there. It's not there. BTI here says meal, food. Food, right? Cuisine, we might say. Gastronomia. Is food there? Yes, it is. Well done. Wow-wee. There's just one more to get. Good. I learnt a word today, says Sam. Nice. Food. I'm getting a lot of food in the audience here. Music. The national anthem. Weather. What would Rob say if you said dragon? Says the bridge. Let's see, what else do we have here? Idiosyncrasies, says Coco Lavanda. Great word and a good answer. Soccer. Oh, the soccer jerseys. Great answer from Chica de la Segunda Fila. Some fantastic answers here. Ana Casan says it's language and a popular dish like paella in Spain. So there's one that you're missing here. One person. Sam steps out of the darkness, smoke and rubble in his wake, holding up a single sheet of paper with one word written on it, sir. That word? That word is a leader. He says, president of the country. Leader, it's there. Well done. I never even considered that. Actually, you've got one more to get. I never even considered that, Natch. But it's true. If I say Abraham Lincoln or, you know, Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, you know. Yeah, good answer. Sorry, there is one more to get that no one has identified. My bad. Did anyone get this in an Instagram? No one actually said it on Instagram either. Let's see. President of the country. Dark Muesli's with us is people. The people. It's a great answer. It's not there, though. Okay. These are distinct Okay, so they are distinct, not just in countries, I think, you know, also in continents, continentally. We use it every day. We work 8 hours a day to earn this. What is it, Natch?
The currency.
The currency. Well done, sir. What do you say, moneda? Yeah. Guys, you nailed it today with 100 humans. I don't think it's ever been this quick. Let me tell you something. I asked 100 humans to name something that symbolizes a country. Nombra algo que simbolice un país. And they said, in position number...
7.
Cuisine. Cuisine, gastronomía. In position number...
6.
An animal. An animal, un animal. In position number...
5.
A leader. Whether that's a political leader, a leader in science or whatever. A leader. Un líder. No? Okay. In position number...
4.
We had currency. Moneda. In position... Oh, no, not leader. Sorry, language. My bad. Jeez Louise. In position number...
3.
Thank you. A landmark. Monumento. In position number...
2.
An anthem. The song. The national anthem. Be careful not to say a hymn. That's what we sing in church. In position number
1,
we have a flag, bandera. Well done. Good job today, guys. You killed it. Let's move on to today's Complete the News.
Complete the News.
All right, it's time for Complete the News. This is where I give you a real news headline, a completely real news headline today from... the OrlandoWeekly.com. Yeah, we're back in Florida, friends. I'm going to give you a real news headline, but I'm going to leave out some important information. And then I'm going to give you three options, A, B, or C. Using those three options, you will complete the news. If you're one of the many, many people watching the show right now on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you haven't participated... I often get the comment, I sometimes feel a little anxious about saying anything. Well, friends, this is your moment, because all you have to write is A, B, or C. All right, let's get into it. So here we go. The Florida Senate passes a proposal to teach kindergartners blank. How do you say kindergartners? You wouldn't say niños de jardín or something like that, would you? You'd say... Niños de aproximadamente 5 años.
More or less. Niños that goes to the guarderías, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Infantes, maybe, I don't know.
Infantes, okay. Yeah, because it's a very particular... Because kindergarten is where you send children of that age. Yeah, I don't know. All right, so here we go. El Senado de Florida apruebe propuesta para enseñar a los niños infantes... blank. Go on, tell me that. Tell me.
No. Is that I'm not sure about infantes. No sé. Niños pequeños.
Niños pequeños. All right. Yeah, kindergartners are approximately 5 years of age. Preescolar, says the bridge. All right. Well, I'll take that. Jardín de infancia, says Carmen. You guys are on fire today. Vero also, jardín de infancia. So Florida Senate passes a proposal to teach kindergartners... kids of 5 years old, blank. Is it A, cryptocurrency trading? Comercio de criptomonedas. You're laughing, Natch, but we're talking about Florida. Is it B, how to kill an alligator? Como matar un caiman? Or cocodrilo, I don't know. I think they have alligators in Florida. Or is it C, about the threat of communism, sobre la amenaza de comunismo. Yes, I told you it was a good one. Okay, A, B, or C? The state of Florida, or the Florida Senate, passes a proposal to teach kindergartners blank. Is it A, cryptocurrency trading? 5 years old, about time they got in the market. comercio de criptomonedas. Is it B, how to kill an alligator, como matar un caiman? Useful skill in Florida, everyone should know. Or is it C, about the threat of communism, appropriate age to have such in-depth political discussions, no, 5 years old. Sobre la amenaza del comunismo. A, B, or C? Nat, you're shaking your head because each is more unbelievable than the next, right? Oh, dude. One day, I'm going to visit Florida. I just need to see this place with my own eyes. I know there are people who download the podcast in Florida. Let me tell you something. I've got nothing but love for you. It's not like England or Spain is without its problems, right? So, you know, have it wrapped in that kind of an idea. Anyway, here we go. So what do you think, Natch? A, B, or C?
A.
You think A, cryptocurrency trading. Why not? The chat here says C. The majority of the votes are for C. Only one person, Caperica. How are you doing? Joining us in the chat. She says B, or he says B, how to kill an alligator. But the chat has decided C, so it's Natch versus the chat. Let's see. All right. Florida Senate passes a proposal to teach kindergartners the answer is C, the threat of communism. Jeez Louise. Jeez Louise. Imagine being a, like, five-year-old, you know? Oh, man. When I was five, let me tell you something. Politics wasn't on my mind. Is it, does that not, like, shouldn't you be learning the colors of the rainbow at that age? What a square, the difference between a square and a circle? What are we talking about, friends? So there you go, there you have it. The Florida Senate recently passed a bill that could introduce the history of communism into the curriculum for students as young as kindergartners. This measure, pending approval from the House and Governor Ron DeSantis, aims to direct the State Department of Education to develop educational standards on communist history. All right, friends. Look, what a lot of fun we've had today. It's been an incredible show. Thank you. Thank you for spending this time with me and the Natch. There's so many things you could have been doing, you know, friends. An infinite number of things. Instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the world. We'll see you tomorrow.